This message is coming to you from the First Baptist Church in Coleraine, Massachusetts. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Mass., with Sunday worship at 11 a.m. and Sunday school for all ages at 9:45. And now, the scripture lesson and message.
Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Thank you very much. Again, nice to see everybody out. Old friends, family, new people coming in. Good day. Resurrection day. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead. Just imagine you've ever been scared. It's a rhetorical question, I know you have. But imagine being really scared stiff because your life's in danger. And you're in a locked room having just lost the person you loved the most and cared about the most. And then suddenly that person just appears out of nowhere in that very room without even bothering to knock. Well, that's exactly what happened when Jesus rose again from the dead. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, you tell us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And we're about to hear the word of God. And you have prepared this message this past week for each and every one of us that are here this morning. It's so easy to be distracted, things that may come into our minds. And we ask for your help to give us understanding of your word, to take it in, to open our ears, not harden our hearts. May we receive it to us, not just as a group, but to us personally, individually, this morning. And may you have your way with us, because you have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And we thank you that you did come. You suffered on the cross on Good Friday. You were in the tomb. You did die. But on this day, you rose again from the dead. And we're going to look at that story this morning and help us to cast our minds back 2,000 years ago for when you did appear to those disciples in the upper room. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, on the first day of the week, Jesus appeared to his disciples. And there are Bibles in the pews if you want to follow along on verse 19. It would help you. First day of the week was Resurrection Sunday. The disciples were assembled together. It's been that way ever since for followers of Jesus Christ that we are to meet on the Lord's Day. Today is the Lord's Day. It's not the Jewish Sabbath, which is a Saturday. Always was a Saturday, always will be a Saturday. We should meet today. The Lord rose again on Sunday, and we're commanded not to forget it either. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we're commanded to not neglect to meet together on the Lord's Day, as the manner of some is. And you're in the best possible place this morning in the house of worship. We're commanded, and Jesus says that if you love me, keep my commandments. Not just commandments in the Old Testament. There's also commandments for believers as well, but we're able to carry those out because we have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, John tells us that the doors were open. John wrote this true story. He was there. He was an eyewitness. And he wrote this down. And it's true. It happened. The doors were locked due to the disciples being very frightened, so afraid that they will suffer the same fate as their master Jesus, who was arrested, put to death on the cross by his enemies, and then martyred for their faith in him. They would be later on, but they were scared stiff, thinking that the same fate was going to happen to them, just like it did to their master Jesus. And we should thank God every day, we should anyway, the fact that we're living in this country, America. I thank God for America, being a foreigner. But now I'm an American citizen. I thank God for America and all that it means and all that it stands for. The Founding Fathers, it was built on this country. Christian principles. And we can meet together like this without fear of being snatched and tortured and put to death for our faith in Jesus Christ. We just recently, this last week, if you follow the news, there was about 148 Christian students in Kenya that were butchered by these Islamic terrorists in Kenya. Do you read about that? And our fellow believers are being tortured, they're being killed for their faith. Some are actually being crucified in the Middle East by ISIS, which shows that even the heathens believe that Jesus died on the cross, but still they refuse to receive him as personal savior. The God of love is Jesus, but instead these people serve a heartless, cruel master, not Allah, as they believe, but the devil himself. They're doing the devil's work. These disciples most likely were met in the upper room where they ate the Last Supper. You remember that? And all of a sudden, Jesus just suddenly appeared out of nowhere in the middle of this room, standing there in a glorified body. And if you, and when you do, get a glorified body, there's no problem. You can walk through walls as well. Trust me. Okay. Then to reassure these frightened few, Jesus spoke, and they must have been scared stiff, seeing he just appeared out of nowhere. They thought he was dead. He was dead. And there he was. Peace, man? No. He goes, he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Do you have peace? peace that Jesus is talking about, what Jesus is talking about is peace with God. Do you have peace with God? Knowing that your sins have been forgiven? Have they been? Only then can you know what real peace is. When you know that your sins are forgiven. Verse 20, he showed them his hands and his side. In other words, he showed them the effects on his body from the ordeal he suffered on the cross due to being impaled there, being nailed there. When they pierced his hands and his side, and this was to show the disciples, it was him. It was tangible proof that it was the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Not a ghost, not some spirit, not a phantom, not even the Phantom of the Opera. You can relax. You can laugh, you know. It's all right. You can have some fun in church, you know. Or some people don't. Verse 21. These wounds on the Lord were quite unique to Christ alone, because he's the only one that bore our sins on the cross. He's the only one that bears the marks, the evidence in his glorified body for our redemption. He paid the price to save us from our sins. But we'll be different when we leave this world, if you're saved. When you get a glorified body, your bodies will be different from Jesus Christ, because we'll be presented faultless. Faultless. We won't have the marks like Jesus did. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, it says, Christ loved the church, that's believers, not this building. Christ loved the church, the body of Christ, to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. Imagine that, no wrinkles. When you get a glorified body, there'll be no wrinkles. There'll be no need for any wrinkle cream. Ladies, it's too late for some of you. And, you know, there's going to be no zits. Is that what you call them, zits? No spots. I've had one. It's been driving me nuts. I'm going to show you where it is. You know, it's spoiling my girlish complexion. But, I mean, I'm never going to have... When I get a glorified body, there'll be no more spots. There'll be no more wrinkles. It'll be absolutely perfect. But Jesus has the marks, has the holes in his hands, in his side, where the spear went in. Okay, so anyway, after this initial shock of Jesus just appearing out of nowhere, and he said, peace to you, they knew he wasn't a ghost, but the Lord himself. He says that they were overjoyed. In other words, they were absolutely ecstatic, overjoyed. When was the last time you were really overjoyed about something? Verse 21, again, he says, peace be with you. Again, the Lord says the word again, peace. But this time it means something a little different from the first greeting. This peace is referring to the peace and rest. Peace and rest. Only found because of a believer's relationship with God. Relationship and fellowship with God, obtained only through believing faith in Jesus Christ alone. Matthew 11, 28, 29 says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Is your soul at rest this morning? Only through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ can you know true peace and rest. The ungodly are restless, never finding peace and rest for their souls. What about you? Have you found true peace and rest for your souls? You may have been coming to church for years. You may even be a member of a church. You've even served in some capacity in a church. But you still don't have peace with God and rest for your soul. It could be that you're not saved at all. Are you? Are you certain that you are? What better day to be saved on Resurrection Day? Verse 21, he said, so send I you. He says again, peace. He gives those disciples a commission to go and preach the gospel. God the Father sent Jesus, and Jesus sends believers to be his witnesses, to teach and preach the gospel. But then he gives them the power to be able to do it. Because nobody could truly preach the gospel unless God enables that person to do it. Not everyone is ordained by God to preach. Many people can get ordained by man. It doesn't mean that they're ordained by God. God is the one that does the ordaining. I remember I met a fellow, I used to go to Moore's Corner, and he said he was ordained. I said, okay, well, would you like to speak at our men's breakfast? And yeah. And he told me when he was in prison, he got ordained online. And I gave him a shot to bring a message, bring a devotional, and he had at least 20 minutes. He had plenty of time to prepare, ample time. He had a whole month to prepare, and he was done in 5 minutes. And he didn't say anything in that 5 minutes. So, you know, not everyone can do it. God enables those. God gives us the gifts. Whatever gift you have got that God has given you, use it for his glory. Because one day we're going to have to give an account of what we did with those talents that he gave us when we first got saved. Also, do your best to encourage other people to use their gifts, talents, and abilities. Encourage them to do that so they can use their gifts for his glory. Be an encourager. Are you an encourager? Be an encourager, not a discourager. He enabled them to be able to teach and preach the gospel. How? Verse 22. He breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Christ breathed on them to enable them to carry out that commission that he'd given them to preach and teach the gospel. We know that the Holy Spirit didn't come down on these disciples until Pentecost, which is about 50 days after the Passover festival. Then they would receive the full power as apostles. They would become the leaders of the early church to perform miracles. But for now, he was enabling them to go out, teach, and preach the gospel. And he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. But there was somebody missing there that day. He never received it. Who are we talking about?
Judas.
Thomas. Judas. Well, John, yeah, Judas wasn't there either. He committed suicide. So there was only 10 disciples in that room. One of them was missing. Well, two. Judas was already dead. And then Thomas, that we're going to learn about shortly. Before Jesus breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit to enable them to teach, preach the gospel. Remember, these disciples were just ordinary men. They'd been very afraid, hiding out from their enemies, being behind locked doors. So they needed the ability, the encouragement to enable them to go and do what Jesus told them to do. And God always enables those that he calls. Amen? God always enables those that he calls. Verse 23, and I want to read the whole verse again. Read verse 22 first. And with that, he breathed on them, received the Holy Spirit. He said, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, this verse has been misunderstood, misinterpreted so many years, so many different people. It simply means that now that the disciples of Jesus had been given the ability to teach and preach the gospel to people, so when people hear the gospel preached and are saved, then their sins can be forgiven. Are yours. However, those who hear the gospel, and you're hearing the gospel this morning, and refuse to believe it, they remain unsaved, obviously. And if they're unsaved, then their sins are not forgiven. They still remain in that condition because they haven't believed the gospel. The gospel is the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. No one can forgive another person's sins. Only God can forgive our sins. Sinners can't forgive sinners. That includes the Pope. The Pope is a sinner. And a sinner cannot forgive another person's sins. Only God can do that. A human being cannot forgive another sinner's sins. It's impossible. But with God, with God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? Verse 24 said that Thomas, though, was not with them when Jesus came. Thomas was not with them. So the 10 were there. Where's Tom? We got asked the question, why wasn't he with the other disciples when Jesus came? And we don't know why he wasn't there. But he couldn't have had a good excuse because all the others had arranged to be there, to meet in the upper room that evening. But that's typically some people are absent on the Lord's Day. They're doing their own thing. We understand if people are sick, or if they're visiting, or if they're on vacation, or if they have to work. We understand all that. But many people are absent on the Lord's Day, just like Thomas. Instead of being in church to assemble together like the disciples were, to worship, and then when Jesus comes, and he's here this morning, they're not here to meet him. They're not here to meet him on the Lord's Day. It's that simple. And Thomas was like that. He didn't show up. He's what you call in America a loose cannon, a loner. That's fine. But he didn't want a fellowship with the others. A lone wolf, obviously, from the story. You can see his character, and I'm not judging him, but obviously he's very opinionated, proud, stubborn, because he even refused to believe the other 10 disciples' report that they'd seen the risen Lord. 10 witnesses that he hung out, the other disciples, for over 3 years, almost 3.5 years, whom he knew, and we believe that they were honest men, and he must have known that. But he still refused to believe their report. He said in verse 25, I will not believe unless I see the marks in his hands and in his side. I will not. So what's he saying? He's exercising his stubborn will. But then a week later, he was there with the others. In verse 26, I'd like to read that. A week later, his disciples were in the house again. This is the upper room. And Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked again. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." And he's been known as Doubting Thomas ever since. Soon as Jesus appeared in the upper room, he immediately confronts Thomas. Didn't talk to the rest of them. And he addresses his unbelief. And he said, "Stop doubting and believe. You too. Stop doubting and believe." And he did. He got it. Verse 28, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." He finally got it. The shekel dropped. The shekel finally dropped. Not the penny. Shekel is a Jewish coin, by the way. He was doubting Thomas no more. Bless you. He was doubting Thomas no more, but believing Thomas. But he'll always be referred to, will always be remembered as Doubting Thomas. That's his legacy. That's what people say about him. What will people say about you when you're gone? What legacy shall we leave behind? Can you imagine the look on Thomas's face when Jesus just appeared out of nowhere? How embarrassed he must have felt and ashamed in front of his fellow disciples, and especially the one that he doubted the most, Jesus, who he thought was dead. But the Lord, being gracious, kind, compassionate, loving, but no wimp, didn't try to embarrass Thomas. He understood Thomas. He understands each one of us, knows everything about us, knows what you're going to do tomorrow, knows what you're going to do next week, next month, next year, knows exactly the time, the day when you will die, knows exactly if you're going to go to heaven or to hell. He knows exactly how many hairs you've got on your head. He knows every sparrow that falls from the sky. And he knew Thomas. He didn't try to embarrass him. He knew he was just human, like the rest of us, with all our faults and our frailties and the mistakes that we all make. I make them every day. And then Jesus says in verse 29, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." We haven't seen Jesus, have we? But we believe by faith. That's what faith is. Not seeing with your physical eyes, but believing by faith what you cannot see. In Thomas's case, he didn't have much faith at all until he saw the risen Lord with his own eyes. But if you've never seen the crucified Lord, and yet you do believe, Jesus says you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed beyond measure. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. It's the best life. Jesus came to give us abundant life. And you can try everything you want in this world, but you're never going to find true peace and rest and contentment until you receive Jesus Christ. These disciples, it says in verse 30, it says, John writes, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's the reason why we have this documented account. So you can believe it and have life in his name. These disciples were eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection. Absolute. It's been proven. More than anything else. Happened 2,000 years ago. And not only he appeared to them, he appeared to many, many other witnesses as well. And I haven't got time to read it. Well, why not? You got a few minutes? Someone said no. 1 Corinthians 15, I will read it. If I can find it. 1 Corinthians 15. Next page. I'm still trying to get used to this Bible. It's a new one. I'm broken it in, yeah. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, which is Jesus' half-brother, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. That was the Apostle Paul. Many, many witnesses. So the question remains. I'm about to close. Having heard the gospel this morning, do you believe? Do you believe by faith that Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the first Easter Sunday? Or are you going to be like doubting Thomas that wrongly thought that seeing is believing? It's not always. That doesn't take much faith, does it? But to believe what you don't see, well, that requires real faith. And if you place your faith in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, then he promises you will be blessed. Surely you want to be blessed by God, don't you? Not be foolish and be cursed, but that's your choice. Just like Thomas had a choice. He exercised his stubborn will. But then he wised up. He wised up in a hurry and proclaimed unashamedly to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." He can be your Lord. He can be your God. And Thomas, he went on to serve the Lord. He went to evangelize through the Middle East. He ended up in a place called Madras in India. They make very good curries there, I know. He was the first missionary to India. And he was killed. He was martyred for his faith and killed, ironically enough, by a spear. Remember, he wanted proof to put his hand in the side of the Lord where the spear went in when Jesus was on the cross. But you've got to give credit to Thomas for his faith, because at one time he lacked faith. Didn't we all? Didn't we all lack faith at one time? Just like the rest of us. But then he exercised his faith in Jesus Christ for the rest of his life. How long have you got left? None of us know. He dedicated the rest of his life in faithful service to his master, having been forgiven by him for his unbelief. And because with Jesus, you know, it's never too late to start over. You're never too old with God. God will always give you another chance to begin again. In the verse in Job, I can't remember the scripture, he says, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. God will always give you a new, fresh start to start over, where some people will never give you another chance. And if you go by faith to Jesus Christ, he'll forgive you. You can be saved from eternal death to receive everlasting life, but only in his name. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he asked the question, do you believe that? Do you believe? Is Jesus telling the truth? Of course he is. It's impossible for him to lie. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is alive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, in this, in the quietness, this solemn moment, our friends this morning have heard the gospel, the truth. You said you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by you. And Lord, I just pray there'll be somebody here this morning that they'll doubt no more, that they'll realize that you are the one that died on the cross to save them from their sins, so they wouldn't have to be punished for the sins that they've committed, will commit, do commit, have committed. But then you rose again from the dead and you are alive. And those that call upon your name, Jesus, shall be saved. It's as simple as that. It's not complicated at all. Even a child can be saved. And it would be foolish not to be, because the alternative is spiritual death when we leave this world, which we will. So please, in God's name, pray this prayer with me. Just pray these words and say it sincerely to God. It's between you and God. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. You know all about me. And I believe that you went to the cross and you died for my sins. And I believe truly in my heart that you rose again from the dead and you are alive. And I want life. I want spiritual life. And I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.